We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and our guests here from the City of Manhattan include City Manager Ron Fear, Wynn Butler, and Linda Morse from the City Commission. And reorganization will take place tonight as at the meeting, which has been moved up a little bit. We should talk about that. Normally, it would be 7 o'clock. It was announced in late December that it would be a 5:30 meeting, and I don't know if the primary reasons for the football game or not, but I know that's kind of what was joked about at the meeting last time, is to allow everybody to go watch the bowl game tonight.
Right. That was certainly the motivating factor, and it wasn't going to have a lot on it to begin with, and we typically try. That doesn't always work that way, as the commissioners will tell you over the years. So we've had some stuff that has created some quick issues for even new commissioners joining the commission. But generally, we try to keep that a fairly light commission just because of a lot of times the commissioners have family members present, certainly if they're taking office for the first time. So it's just traditionally been tried to keep that somewhat light. But with the football game, it was an opportunity to keep it even lighter. And so there's not a, it is the first meeting of the year, but it's a special meeting as opposed to a traditional regular meeting, so it doesn't have a lot of the items in it that you would typically have during a regularly scheduled meeting. So it's very limited in nature, and it'll be limited to, we do have a proclamation tonight for Martin Luther King Jr., and then also the commission has to, asking the commission to approve the minutes and pay our bills, approve the claims register, and then at the rest of the meeting is the reorganization, which is traditionally, we have comments from the outgoing mayor, and then Brenda Wolf, our city clerk, will administer the oath of office to the newly elected and reelected commissioners, and that would be Usharetti and Wynn, as well as former Commissioner Mata, and then Aaron Estabrook will be recognized for his time, as well as thank the mayor for his term, and then we'll have some discussion about what's been accomplished, and if tradition follows, which I assume it will, typically the mayor pro tem will be elected as mayor, and that's kind of been a tradition. There's nothing set in stone in our code that requires that. Again, the commissioners are elected from among themselves as for that service, as opposed to being directly elected by the citizens, and it's a one-year term. So we'll have that, and then some discussions and recognitions, and that should be it for this meeting.
Okay. Well, I remember I covered the last meeting. That's kind of the good thing, is when I go to a meeting, I can actually talk about other things I remember from the meeting. But I think one of the things was discussed was the salaries for the commissioners were increased, I believe, just a slight bit. And the mayor typically gets a little bit more of a salary increase because of the things that they do in the community. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a couple things there. So and both have been mayors, so they can speak to a lot of that. But probably the biggest job is that the mayor is asked to do more welcoming. We haven't done as much of that because of COVID. But the other big job is that they're responsible for making recommendations for various boards that we have. And so that takes a lot of time to contact those folks and work that out and understand we have a caller.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. First thing I want to say is that three items I want to touch on, and I'm not trying to sharpshoot anyone. I'm not going to use any names, but I think you know who I'm referring to. Well, now we've got three opinions this morning about masks. Well, the CDC sent a thing out earlier about masks. If we had followed that, instead of having governors, city commissioners, county commissioners, and everybody else making decisions, changing things in school, now that the masks are back on at school, it's smart. The second thing is, when are we going to start charging for parking at the airport? All you have to do is send somebody out there and put $1 for every car. There's about 600 cars there the other day, and then a while back there was 1,000 cars. Same thing with the garage downtown. When are we going to charge for that? How are we going to get our money back? The third thing is the Discovery Center. It's been supported by the tax of the hotels. Well, there are 7 or 8 hotels, I'm not sure, closed in Manhattan. I think it would be wise to close the Discovery Center. People can't get there anyway, and because of COVID, they can't really enjoy it. So there's three items. I'll hang up and listen. I think you're all doing a great job. Sometimes it just takes somebody from the outside, to come up with a different message.
Yeah, we are paying for parking at the airport.
Yeah, actually, we were on an introductory rate in 2021, and then actually the rates went up effective yesterday. So we have implemented the pay for parking at the airport to help pay for the debt service that we bonded or will be bonding for that significant improvement there. And we haven't seen the holiday travel crowds that we have had in the past. You know, just in 2019, I think we had at least 7, maybe 9 flights a day prior to COVID. We are back up to 5, which is remarkable. And even, typically in January, we lose one of those 5 kind of for the winter travel season. Americans holding that one. So that's a good sign for us. And the parking lot is pretty full. Of course, there's quite a bit of game day bowl travel that's part of that as well. So we are charging the caller mentioned the parking garages. We have are certainly planning to charge for parking in the Aggieville garage when it's complete in the spring. And as part of that, we're looking at creating a mechanism that will also look at charging for parking in the downtown lot or in the downtown structure as well. So those will be some items for discussion and completion by the commission in 22, but we're certainly looking at those components.
Ron, a question for you. Was there any additional flights out of MHK to possibly help out with some of the demand to fly down to Houston this week?
There were some charter flights. Certainly the normal charters for the sports teams and the Alumni Association had some charters, but I don't think they added. It was some of their motivation probably for January to keep that January flight, but they had seen traffic starting to come back at the airport and had a couple of the larger planes mixed back into the schedule. So those are all good observations to see, and we appreciate that, certainly.
Yeah, I wanted to comment, on the Discovery Center. That's always been a, problem financially. We're working on it, but the idea that people can't get to it, I went to 3 holiday events there. They were sold out. Breakfast with Santa, both times absolutely packed. And for New Year's, I was there for the, family New Year's Eve. And again, it was sold out. And there were all kinds of kids there, families there. They had a great time, had a balloon drop at 8:30. And so it's not really correct to say, hey, people can't use it, can't get to it, because, the evidence as part of the holiday festivities is it went quite well. Now, long term, trying to end up making it work, I think we're making good progress there through the foundation. They're doing a good job of, raising money and things. And I think we're going to get there. It's been a little bit slower than many of us had hoped.
Yeah, I would also clarify, I think the caller indicated that we were using transient gas tax for the Discovery Center to help subsidize. That's no longer the case. We're actually using some special park and rec money to do that. So it is still requiring a subsidy, although both the zoo and the Discovery Center were successful in getting some attractions grant money to help meet that shortfall because of COVID. So those were two very positive components. And I think several other of our nonprofits in the community were able to do that as well. So that's been very good. And as the mayor said, the Discovery Center Foundation is leading an effort. They've started in a $2 million renovation of the facility, really focusing on children and kids. Kidscape is what it's called. And significant improvements in the facility that will continue. Our membership is still good. Still a lot of support for the facility.
Linda, I think you wanted to add something there.
Just that I think people are supportive of the Discovery Center, maintaining their memberships. They're visiting. They know it's a safe place because it's a city facility. And so as COVID goes away, I expect it to really bounce back. And soon.
All right, very good. I've seen a lot more activities, it seems like, ramp up. Maybe it's partially due to the the pandemic and all the activities being canceled, but it's been nice to see a lot of stuff happening out there this past year. We've got to take a break. We'll come back with our city officials in a moment here. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.